Psalm chapter 5, we will talk about the whole chapter, but we'll only read verses 1 to 3. Yeah. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, ready for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and help us, Lord God, to put action in everything that we'll be hearing today, tonight, from your word. Pray for the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Psalm chapter 5 shows us that our morning time, the morning time that we spend with the Lord, can set the tone of our entire day. If you read through the whole chapter, this is a psalm of David when he was troubled. He was afraid. He was full of fear. That's why he wrote this song. Some call it an imprecatory prayer, which is a prayer to destroy the wicked. But verse 1 is a statement which all of us who've gone through persecutions, trials, and even chastisements, we've prayed this prayer. Verse number 1 and 2a. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. It's like David was begging the Lord. Lord, please listen to me. I beg you. I have something to tell you. Hear my prayer, please. If you've gone through trials, you've prayed this prayer. And by paying attention to the words of David that David wrote, you can already feel that he has tremendous emotion. Now, the word meditation in verse number 1, it came from a Hebrew word that says hagig, which can be literally translated as a murmur, a groaning, a complaint, something in our minds that's very deep. It's a deep thought, a deep reflection. Now, it's an idea connected to our emotions that's troubling us. It's not just what he's thinking at the moment, but it's been troubling him. And I'm sure that we've all had that thought one time in our lives. Now, David had this experience which prompted him to write Psalm chapter 5 and pray to God. And we hear about one woman in the Old Testament as well. Her name is Hannah. You know her story. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So Hannah's case is a great example of this meditation mentioned in verse number 1. When she was exceedingly afflicted by her situation, you all know her story, and she was exceedingly afflicted. She was in pain. She was in sorrow. She was bitter. This verse encourages us to approach God with utmost intentionality and honesty, as Job did in Job chapter 7, verse number 11. Let's turn there. Job chapter 7, verse number 11, it says, oh yeah, turn there. Job chapter 7, verse number 11. Because it wasn't a joke. We read through Job, and we see all the statements that he said. And we think that, yeah, because after that, he's blessed. We know that, but he didn't know it. He went through all the suffering. And in verse number 11 of chapter 7, it says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. So, every time we are in the middle of experiencing overwhelming emotions, don't lash out on somebody else, as we are very easily tempted to do. No, we put it on somebody else indirectly. Let's take it to God. He created us. He knows how our emotions work. He gave us our emotions. It's valid. So we take it to Him. We be open, we be honest to Him about what we're really going through. Psalm chapter 57, we ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to deal with those emotions. He will not be unkind. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 57, verse number 2. Psalm 57, verse number 2. Okay. 57, verse number 2, it says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. We can cry to God. No matter how difficult it is, we don't turn bitter on Him. We give Him our bitterness, and He will do something about it. Last Sunday, there was a preacher in Putaruru that quoted Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. He will not shoo you away. He will welcome you. The world has psychologists, psychotherapists, all these mental health workers, professionals. And that's good. But they don't give you advice, or they don't give you consultations based on the Word of God. And as Christians, we have to go to God. And God will lead us to the help that we need. So go to God first. God is waiting for us to bring Him our anger, our resentment. You know the story of Moses when he was angry with God. So what did he do? He talked to God about it. And when Gideon and Moses, when they were insecure, what did they do? They talked to God. And God gave them the strength. God provided. When with our anxiety, our fear, there's a lot of this going on right now. Anxiety, fear, and uncertainty. Luke chapter 12 is a good place to start with. Elijah himself was so done with it. It's enough. This is enough. Imagine telling God, this is enough. But he talked to God. In verse number 2, let's go back to our passage. Psalm chapter 5. Verse 1 is a cry for help. Even verse 2a, hearken unto me, hearken unto the voice of my cry. What did God call, what did David call God though? My king, my God. David mentioned the word king. This emphasizes authority, the authority of God, and teaches us to approach. No matter how emotional you are, no matter how heavy the burden is, no matter how angry you are, to approach God in humility. Come to Him with your complaint. Do so in humility. Last Sunday evening, we were reminded to submit ourselves to God, as mentioned in the book of James, chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 to 10, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. When you speak about authority, somebody in Matthew, in the New Testament, knew about authority, and it's in chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. It says there, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. This is humility. He understood God's authority, Jesus' authority, so he became humble. I am not worthy for that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. We are told of the story of the centurion whose faith marveled Jesus himself. The centurion knew how authority worked. The faith came in when he related Jesus' authority to not only people, but also phenomena like illness. So he recognized that Jesus had the authority on everything. And that's how we should approach God. If you're carrying this much of a burden in your heart, approach God. Because he has control of everything. The second way that that David addressed God is simply, "My God." Every time we're about to come to the Lord in prayer, I find that it is very helpful to just pause for a while and remind myself who it is that I'm talking to. Right? This David in verse 2, despite and because of his meditation and emotions, he acknowledged who he was talking to. On our Sunday school last Sunday, the preacher talked about the oneness and the sovereignty of God. People in other cultures and cults, they attribute God's power on a lot of things, made up things. They have a God for this, God for that. They have a patron saint for this, a patron saint for that. But all this power belongs to the God that we serve. And so, when we have been given access to this, direct access to this, to his throne of grace, just imagine when you come to, when you pray, imagine that you can actually see God in all his glory, with all the angels, in his majesty. I don't think you can say a single word. I think you'll tremble in all his glory. Right? And yet, when we pray, we just, "Lord, let's go." We often forget who it is that we're talking to. This is the God that designed the universe. And we can talk to him and bring him everything. Even so, God is so kind that he gave us a helper so that we know what to ask for. And that's the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And if that's not enough, God gives us an advocate in Jesus Christ. See how kind our God is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Do not ever forget that when you pray, with utmost sincerity, the triune nature of God convene. And my friend, you are in the middle of it. The full power of the Godhead is at work. Remember Elisha's servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. We won't turn there, but you are familiar with the story. Every time you pray, you enter a spiritual realm. A servant didn't know what Elisha was talking about until God opened his eyes and saw the multitude of help that they had. And he marveled. Of course he would. No prayer is small. You have the master designer of the universe as your audience, your helper, and your advocate when you pray. Isn't that amazing? Now, the verse also says, "Hearken unto my voice, the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." That's pretty easy to understand. Unto thee will I pray. What does it mean? It just means choose God. Choose God. From the moment we wake up, the world will offer you heaps and heaps of distractions. Remember, last Sunday morning, the preacher talked about Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Let's turn there so that we get reminded. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke 8:14 says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." I don't need to prove to you that this world is full of distractions. Our enemy has planned out ways to distract you from having that personal time with God so that you don't experience the benefits of it. These distractions come in all forms. Your phones, your family, if you're a parent, you know this, your neighbors, emails, worries, work, whatever it is. When you wake up in the morning, attack. You're distracted right away. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4 says, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All these distractions are entanglements. And Satan knows this. Satan knows our weaknesses. And so, know that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who is this that chose us? This is God. So, in turn, we have to choose God as well. Choose him. That's what that's what that phrase in verse number 2 says. For unto thee will I pray. In Luke chapter 10, verses 41 to 42, we don't have to turn there. We are told about the story of Martha and Mary, right? You know this. And you know, and we know the choices that they made. It's not that Martha did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but Mary chose the right thing. And what was that? To focus on Jesus. Let's refocus our attention to our relationship with God. Do not allow yourself to get distracted by anything that the world quite literally throws in our faces every single day. In verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. This is, by the way, the title of the message, In the Morning. The verse emphasizes two things. One is timing. The second is expectation. Timing and expectation. When we seek to have our fellowship with God, first thing in the morning, first thing, the very first thing that you do in the morning is seek God. Pray, have some time with your Bible. We practically put him first. Like, how first can you get than the first thing that you do in the morning? First and above everything, above your tiredness, above your work, above all these distractions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If we choose to spend the first waking moment of the day with God, then we obey this. We put him first. And we already know the results of putting God first. We have examples in the Bible, like Abraham became the father of the chosen nation, and the widow of Zarephath lived through a famine. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they walked with Jesus in the furnace. Daniel was saved from the lions. If we want to experience victories like this, in this magnitude, let's put God first. And the most practical way to do that is to spend the first moment of our day with him, in his word and in prayer. Maybe that's the reason why we don't experience victories in our lives. Or we don't appreciate the small victories in our lives. Because we don't have those eyes that can see the blessings out of the ordinary. Because we don't spend time with God. We don't prioritize with God. We don't prioritize God. Remember in Luke 16, chapter 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Spending time with God first thing in the morning seems to be a little thing, a small thing to do. But if God can trust us with just that, then how can he trust us with bigger things? The last part of verse 3 is, and will look up. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. So timing and expectation. This part of the verse shows expectation and anticipation. We all know that when we pray without believing what we're praying for, without faith for what we're praying for, we're just wasting our time, right? Looking up means we have faith that God is listening and is about to do something with our prayers in His perfect will. We need to live a life based on the belief that God has something in store for us. We're not just praying for nothing. Maybe that's the reason why when we pray, after that, we seem to forget and we try to do things our way. Because we don't have faith. But we have to have faith. Otherwise, why even bother? Maybe that's the reason why most of us can't come to Him in prayer in the morning. Because we don't expect anything from Him. We don't expect that God can. It is a faith problem. Then Jesus will ask you, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right? Now, connecting these three verses, we go back to the meditation of verse number one. All these groanings, fear, anxiety, uncontrolled emotions, take it to God in the morning. First thing in the morning. In anticipation. So during your day, when you're able to handle them, you know for sure that God was the one who helped you. Coming to God first thing is like setting our day up for victory. Because you know whatever comes your way, you'll have that security in your heart that you've already talked to God about it. And you've already asked God for help. It doesn't mean that we don't pray for the rest of the day. No. We're commanded to pray without ceasing. But when you do that, you already have that security in your mind. It's a small thing, but it makes a big, big difference. And when bad things happen throughout your day, you'll be able to say, Lord, this was what I was telling you about in the morning. This was going to bother me. Need your help now. And you have that confidence. You don't go around not knowing what to do, rattling. This is our confidence. And this will help us big time. So to conclude, tomorrow, when you wake up, you can't do that tonight, right? I hope you know that. So to conclude, tomorrow when you wake up, meet God in prayer and devotion. You know why? Because He's waiting. Let's pray. Father in heaven, simple message, very practical. We pray, Father, that whatever it is that's hindering us from meeting you in the morning, when we wake up, take them all away. Or better yet, Lord, let them come and strengthen us. Give us the dedication, Father. Holy Spirit, please move in us. Let those distractions come and help us to be stronger and to give you everything, all our worries, all our fears. Pain, whether it be inside or out, we pray, Lord, that you will convict our hearts and help us to dedicate everything to you, to give you everything, and help us throughout our days, Father. Father, it's only by you, it's only by the Holy Spirit as our helper. Thank you very much for listening to all our prayers. Thank you for this message. We pray for our pastor and his wife. We pray for our church.